Blog Talk Radio.
Constant through all the years, Ray, has been baseball. America has rolled by like an army of steamrollers. It's been erased like a blackboard, rebuilt and erased again. But baseball has marked the time. This field, this game, is a part of our past, Ray. It reminds us of all that once was good. And it could be again. Oh, people will come, Ray. People will most definitely come.
And that's exactly what we're hoping for here on the Frat House Sports Radio Network. Frat House, my coming to you here on a very, very special night as we bring to you our very, very first, our debut edition of Cleanup Hitters, an all-Major League Baseball program that'll be coming to you here every Tuesday evening. Yeah, well, it's preseason. We know the regular season hasn't started. No big deal. We're having some preseason shows just to kind of, well, get the, you know, get things together. If we make a few mistakes here tonight, it's A-OK. No big deal because, hey, it's preseason. What else that makes this particular program very, very special from many different perspectives, but particularly from the perspective here of all of us who have been regulars at Frat House Sports, is that we're going to get to introduce two of our brand new Frat House Sports gang members. All of you who have been listening to the Frat House Sports Radio Network for some time now, well, you've gotten used to the regular voices that come on here. You've got myself and Uncle Mark and Sidekick, Brandon, you've got my voice, but we're going to be introducing two brand new ones here to you this evening. And if you've been listening for the past couple of weeks, perhaps over on our Frat House Saturday program, well, I tried to get all three introduced over the course of the past couple of weeks. I tried to, didn't work out this past weekend with Nick, but that's all right. We'll work something out there. But this evening, I'm joined here tonight by Sean Hagan. And Sean, how are we doing tonight?
I'm doing good, Fred House Mike. How are you doing?
Excellent, excellent. I'm looking forward to this. This should be a lot of fun. You guys are doing wonderful. It's a little bit tricky the first time. You know, you have to navigate getting into the studio and doing all that kind of stuff. A little bit tricky. You guys did a wonderful job. Caleb Leketic as well on with us from Tennessee. How are things in Murfreesboro, Tennessee tonight, Caleb?
Wonderful, beautiful, awesome weather in the 70s and feeling awesome. So,
we could
lucky you.
Yeah, I was going to say, listen, we got up to, I guess, around the 60s, close to 60 thereabouts here at Frat House today. But, man, that wind didn't make it feel like it, not at all.
No wind here.
No wind there, yeah, I hear you. Mm-hmm. Real quick, it's funny. I was just going to point out to the folks, baseball. We just heard that whole introduction there, from one of my favorite sports films, Field of Dreams. And I know it's hokey and it's kind of a, you know, I've been criticized for that in the past, but I don't know. There's something about all of the mystique of that particular film. And you just heard the beginning of that. And when you think about baseball being ageless, you know, everybody, you hear those phrases out there. Well, baseball is an ageless sport. Well, that's kind of like the makeup of our panel here this evening. Ageless. Because we're spanning the spectrum here. I'm the old man on this panel, as Caleb and Sean are coming to us, about a little bit more than, I guess, about half my age, but that's okay. That's what's going to make this a lot of fun as we get into all the different conversations. But one of the things I wanted to point out, and I don't know whether either of you guys would remember it. Certainly you're going to remember it from the standpoint of at least hearing about it, seeing it perhaps maybe in replay. I don't know if you recall when it actually happened live, but it was 10 years ago today when we had the congressional hearings that were going on over PED usage in Major League Baseball. And I'm sure that you guys have seen the pictures of the panel of Curt Schilling sitting there with Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire and Jose Canseco. And, well, the guy that I got to tell you, before this day 10 years ago, I absolutely thought the world of. But on this day 10 years ago, I absolutely turned my head on Rafael Palmeiro. Rafael Palmeiro, on that particular day when there was all this questioning going on from, elected officials there in Washington. Rafael Palmeiro at one point, and there's a very famous scene, if you guys haven't seen it, get out to YouTube and take a look at it. Very famous scene where he turns unequivocally. He's sitting down at his table there with numerous other players, as I pointed out their names, and he points up and shakes his finger at the congressional hearing, and the members on that congressional board shook his finger and swore that he never, ever, ever did any performance-enhancing drugs. And, boy, it just completely changed my opinion of Rafael Palmeiro. I really thought the world of him prior to that. But it was 10 years ago today, just a little bit of trivia there for you. You guys have seen the pictures, I'm sure, haven't you?
Yes.
Oh, certainly, yeah.
Yeah. Before we get into chatting a little bit of baseball, because that's what we're here to do. That's why we called it cleanup hitters.
I would hope we were talking baseball. That's what I prepared for.
But you know something, it's Frat House Sports. It's on the Frat House Sports Radio Network, and we mix it all up a little bit every once in a while. Hey, we got you guys get your bracket filled out. I hope you have your bracket filled out, right? You filled out a bracket for the NCAA tournament?
Yep, I got mine all filled out, all ready to go, and I think it actually looks pretty solid. There are a couple games I'm kind of iffy on, but we'll see how those all shake out. But it should be an interesting Thursday and Friday for sure.
Oh, it's always fun. It is always
sure is.
So much fun. Caleb, tell me, you've got a 12 beating a 5, right?
I do.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you're getting to it. You're getting to it. Smart. For a young man, you're smart. I never figured this out until like a year ago. I figured this out about a year ago. I've been playing brackets for years. I'm going, what a dummy. You got to have at least one 12 beat a 5.
Yep.
Who's your 12 beating a 5?
Well, I actually, I have a couple actually. I've got Wyoming over Northern Iowa. That game will be interesting. Very, very physical matchup there. Both of those teams very underrated in a sense that nobody's really heard of them. You know, when you think of a Wyoming, you don't think of a basketball college. You just think of nothing. You know, but they are fantastic. They really, really are. And I have Stephen F. Austin over Utah.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I think that one. That is going to be the one, which actually I've been hearing a lot of, and I was kind of surprised that it almost sounds like they're kind of favored as a 12 seed over a 5.
Wow.
That's kind of shocking, a little bit.
Yep. Now, Wyoming, are they out of what conference? Are they out of the Mountain West?
I believe so, yes. I believe so.
All right. I'm not sure what – yeah, I couldn't remember which conference they were out of. And, of course, that's one of the smaller conferences.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have a 12 beating a 5, Sean?
I actually have not filled out a bracket.
Oh, you haven't done it yet? Okay. All right.
No,
I haven't filled mine out completely yet either.
Yeah.
But.
I mean, I've never been a huge fan of filling out the brackets. I'm more of a fan of just, like, watching the games. And actually a pretty big fan of watching people get upset over the fact that they
that their bracket
their teams
busted.
Are losing. Yeah, exactly. But, I might get around to one this year, though.
That's nice. Sean's one of those guys that just goes around and pokes the bear. That's great. That's
oh,
good.
Yeah. Poking the bear.
Well, for anybody that's interested, there is one play-in game that is going on right now. We've got Hampton and Manhattan going up against it, if anybody really cares. Right now, Hampton is up by 1 point, 46-45. For anybody that's out there listening, and I have a sneaky suspicion we have a lot of people listening in this evening for this debut program, if you want to get a hold of us, there's a number of ways you can do that. You can call into the studio, pick up your cell phone, pick up your rotary phone, whatever you're using. I don't care what it is, but give us a call. Give us a holler. We want to hear from anybody that's out there. These guys want to hear how they sound. Let them know. They sound pretty good. 347-826-9964. 347-826-9964. If you are listening on a computer and you are Skype capable, just simply hit the Skype button. It'll put you through to us loud and clear. Chat room is wide open. Looks like we have quite a few people over in the chat room. And if you have anything you want to say there, leave us a comment and we'll bring it to everybody's attention. And again, I just woke up in the 21st century and I only started realizing just the other day what a dummy I am. Hey, if you want to tweet me, you can tweet. My Twitter account is open all the time. And I'll see it, and if you want to tweet me, at Frat House Mike, and I'd be more than happy to put your comment up on the air. All right, let's get into talking some Major League Baseball. And it is preseason, and we know that none of what's going on right now really matters. And we can get into this conversation, because, you know, for all of us that follow sports, every single sport that we follow, I don't care what it is, has a preseason. They have exhibition games they play. And I think that of all of the major sports, I guess if we stick with the four majors, okay, I think Major League Baseball has just about the most irrelevant Major League exhibition preseason schedule of all of them. Whatever happens in Major League Baseball in preseason means absolutely nothing. Now, you can say that in just about every sport, but a lot of times, even in football, you can look at the schedules that are, you know, remaining. You know, what was the schedule for so-and-so in preseason? And a lot of times you can kind of overlay that to the season. But boy, oh boy, in baseball, this means absolutely nothing, right? I mean, right now Baltimore is 4-12. That's not reflective of what that team is. And Philadelphia right now is 8-7. That's not reflective either. So I thought maybe real quick what we would do is just take a look at both the Grapefruit League and the Cactus League. Any comments on anything you see in the standings here, gentlemen? I mean, is there anything jumping out at you? Anything that's a surprise, either from the standpoint that, boy, that's a really horrible record for a team that I think is going to be pretty good, or that's a really good record for a team that will never be that good during the regular season? Any surprises jumping out?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head with the Phillies, our home team there, Frat House Mike. Putting up some pretty good numbers this preseason so far, but not really expecting much out of them come regular season.
Yeah, I think we'd be happy for a 533 percentage right now. If that were in July, heck, I'm going to be real happy for that. But I'm frankly anticipating this team's going to be pretty much irrelevant by May. I don't know. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Listen, you know, who knows? Caleb, San Francisco at 4-12, huh? That's a flip, right? That's a flip.
Yeah, I'm not really one to look at all these here and just say, oh, this team, they're going to win it all because they have an 11-4 record like the Royals right now. All right, no, it's the most pointless thing ever. I'm sorry, but it is. It means nothing. And yeah, I mean, the Giants, I think they're gonna be good. And that record of 4-12 is not showing much. I mean, it's a preseason game. They're not having all their guys in there. You know, it's all those, you know, guys who are trying to make a roster, who are trying to fight, and all their guys are sitting out. You know, all the really good players that they have. And that's with every single team. So, you know, like you said, it's not very, very good kind of a marker of where everyone really is in the preseason.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at the Dodgers 8-2 now. You know, You know, later on, let's see, we'll be taking a look at the NL West, I guess, in 2 weeks or so. And you know, I guess we'll kind of make. I know I don't have a problem kind of making a prediction in how some of these teams might wind up in their division. You know, what the standings might look like. I'm willing to throw that out there because, I mean, for, you know, what does it really matter? You know, it's just me talking out of one side of my mouth. I mean, you know, who cares if I'm right or I'm wrong? But the Dodgers, I could see being a good team in the West. In fact, they might be the best team in the NL West. Kansas City certainly proved to us last year they're no sleeper. I mean, 11-4, yeah, that might be about right. I don't know. Oakland always seems to come on strong early on in the season, then they seem to tail off as you get near the end. Oakland right now, 10-6. And I'm just looking down the Cactus League. I think the Angels are in for a lot of trouble this year. And 6-7 kind of is marking it. One team that a lot of people have been talking about early on, and we heard about it preseason, and I'll just get both your guys' senses on this. A team that a lot of people have been talking about, some people are going to laugh at this, particularly if you're a St. Louis Cardinals fan, some people are going to laugh at this, but one team that a lot of people have been talking about early on with great hope have been the Cubs. Any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, you know what, the Cubs, I hate to say it, but they're going to be a contender the first half of this season, and I do not think that they're going to hold up just because they're young, and they're not really a proven talent yet. They're young. Joe Maddon has done great things with the Rays. I mean, amazing. With the roster that he had, with the market, it's not a very big – I mean, it's just not. Chicago is a bigger market. He's going to eventually get some bigger free agents. I mean, they went out, they signed Lester to what? It was like $150 million deal, something like that, something nuts. I mean, I think that they are actually going to surprise a lot of people. And but I don't think that they're going to be a contender come about September. I just don't think that they're going to be there just quite yet.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Sean, any thoughts on the Cubs? I don't know. I mean, I kind of, you know, I'm the kind of guy that I sit back, you know, here we are, we're literally, I think, 3 weeks away from opening day. I like to romanticize a little bit, you know, think about it, play around with it. You know, I was a guy who jumped on the bandwagon early with the Kansas City Royals. And when I say early, I mean like two seasons ago, believe it or not. I was actually telling people two seasons ago, hey, wake up. The Royals are going to be a team to contend with. They actually did it sooner than I thought they would. But I look at the Cubs and I've looked at some of the acquisitions they made in the offseason. I'm going, maybe. Maybe some people need to sit up and take a look at the Cubs. Any thoughts on it, Sean?
You know, like you said, a lot of the acquisitions they're making, it might be the start of something great. Possibly not this year. Maybe, I don't know, a couple of years down the road, if they can make some more, key pickups. And I mean, you know, not every team can be bad forever. There's got to be a change somewhere, and maybe this is it. Maybe with all the young guys they're bringing in, maybe they can build something up, bring in the rest of the weapons they need into the team after a couple years of just testing out these guys, and you know, maybe in the next couple of years they could be in World Series contention.
Mm-hmm. Another team, somebody, a lot of people I've heard actually bringing up, and in fact, I'm trying to think. There was a program I was actually on. It might have been one of our own Frat House sports programs here. Actually, it might have been Frank Close when he was on with us last Thursday night. Frank Close was on with us from Philadelphia.com, and he was coming to us from Philly spring training down in Clearwater. He may have actually brought up the Miami Marlins. Miami right now sitting at 8-5. This was a team that, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I didn't think twice about absolutely lambasting publicly on the air numerous times, lambasting their owner, ripping them apart for the outrageous, outlandish things that that owner did to that team. And yet a lot of people are actually saying the Miami Marlins might actually be a team to be reckoned with. Any early assessments on Miami from either one of you?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't really seen much of them, but just from what they have, Giancarlo, the dude's a monster. He's amazing. He can hit the ball like no one else. I mean, the guy is going to hit 30 plus home runs this season. I mean, they're going to be in contention in the East. Now the Nationals, they are the favorite, obviously. But I think that the Marlins they're going to make a push. I really, mm-hmm. really, really do. They look solid. You know, last season was a little bit of a glimpse of it. You know, they showed some signs that they're going to be really good. And that pitcher was out last year, and I cannot think of his name right now, but he was a rookie 2 years ago. Fantastic. He had Tommy John surgery last spring training, but I cannot think of his name. I'll try to look it up. But
yep.
But they're going to be fantastic in the East for sure.
Well, without getting into, I guess, specific predictions on where you think the East is going to line up, Caleb, obviously it sounds like you're pretty much going with chalk with the Washington Nationals. When you say that you think Miami's going to be, potentially pushing for contention, I mean, Miami, a second-place finish?
Yeah, I mean, I really think that they could. And I think that they will. I think that they will finish second, maybe third. But again, you know, I'm not sure if they can hold up for 162 games yet.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we kind of have to wait and see how that shakes down. But I do think that they will end up finishing second, maybe third, but no lower than third in the East. I just don't. I mean, I think that they will be in it up until July, maybe August. Now, I could be totally, totally wrong, and they could easily just be horrible, you know. But I really do think that they will be second in the East this season.
Oh, yeah, I'm trying to. I mean, you know, Washington. See, I never count out the Braves.
Yeah, the Braves.
I think the Mets should be a little bit better than they were last year.
Yeah.
The only team that you can automatically chalk off, I think, at this point right now, I mean, just clearly chalk them off, are the Philadelphia Phillies. But,
unfortunately for you guys.
Yeah, the East actually could be quite interesting if Miami is as forceful as some people are leading people to believe that they could be. I mean, really, the East could be quite interesting with Washington, Atlanta, Miami, and if the Mets could actually get their act together for a season or so, it might actually turn out to be a rather interesting division. All right. If there's anybody out there that wants to jump in with us here, we're talking baseball. Yes, we know it's preseason, and that's why we're talking preseason baseball. 347-826-9964. Jump in with us, please. Give us a holler. I'd love to hear from you. 347-826-9964. Leave us a comment in the chat room, or you can tweet me at Frat House Mike. All right. I figured what we'd do, since we have three shows here prior to opening season, because when we come here together in early April, which will be April 7th, the season will be started at that point. So the next 3 weeks, which is tonight, we'll be back here on the 24th and then the 31st. I figured what we'd do is break down each individual division and just take a look at it a little bit, kind of dissect it, break it down team by team a little bit, and see perhaps maybe where they got a little bit better over the offseason, what their, some of their stumbling blocks might be going into the season and throughout the season. And so I thought tonight what we would do is we take a look at both the AL East, and we will also take a look at the NL Central. And then next week we'll take a look at two others, and then by the time we get to the last week, we'll have looked at the entire league. Bringing us a little bit of an update here on and some analysis, I guess we could say. Sean, talk to us a little bit about what you see out of the AL East. Interesting division. Baltimore won it last year. New York made some moves in the offseason, but they still appear to be somewhat dysfunctional. Boston really tailed off last year. What in the world? And Tampa Bay, I guess you'd have to say they're a team in flux without, you know, with the management change. So break it down for us. What's it looking like over there?
Well, there's a lot of interesting things going on. Obviously, like you said, Baltimore winning the division last year with a record of 96-66. Not a lot going on during the offseason, though. A couple new pickups, but some key losses in their outfield, losing Nelson Cruz and Nick Markakis, who combined for a 6.4 WAR last year. Two of their biggest hitters in the center of their lineup, Nelson Cruz having the MLB leading 40 home runs last season. So they have a little bit of a hole in their lineup that they've got to fill with a few of these guys. Picked up Travis Snyder. Not a bad pickup for the outfield. Probably not going to produce as much as Nelson Cruz and Nick Markakis. And also it looks like Chris Davis, after his season last year, is also going to have to pick it up if Baltimore is looking at any chances to repeat what they did last year.
Okay. You have any sense on what, I was just trying to get over to their website, any sense on what the starting rotation might be looking like? I know we're early yet, but any sense on where, okay, look, I just got their roster up. There we go. On what their starting rotation might look like there, Sean?
I do not personally know it, no.
Okay. All right. All right. What do we got going with some of our other teams there in the East? What about these Yankees?
Yankees making a lot of moves in the offseason, picking up a lot of people, also losing a lot of people. It looks like they picked up a lot of pitchers in their bullpen. Hoping to get some power from there. But their starting pitching is still going to be struggling, which is what's going to be the key to this team, it seems like, this year. With C.C. Sabathia on the decline in the past 4 years, mm-hmm. and also losing a lot of threats on offense with the retirement of Derek Jeter and also the questionable return of Alex Rodriguez.
Yep.
This season. So there's the Yankees, like a decent bullpen, maybe not the strongest starting pitching, and maybe not the strongest hitting rotation either.
This team just, you know, I'm looking up and down it, and they just, you know, again, this has been the complaint about this team, it seems like now for the better part of a couple of seasons, and that's their age. And it doesn't appear that they did much at all to get any younger. And you got to wonder,
no,
I mean, I don't know, is this an issue with the contract problems that they've got? Is that what this is all about? I mean, I don't know.
It could possibly be the contracts. I mean, when you look at it, this team is very, very old and very, very expensive. They're holding on to a lot of these older guys who are costing them a lot of money. And, you know, it might be time to look past these guys, get rid of them, start looking a little younger, and really rebuilding this this Yankees team.
Any thoughts on anything so far here, Caleb, on anything that we've, the Orioles or the Yankees?
Yeah, I mean, the Orioles, you know.
Jump in anytime. Just everybody just jump in.
I will. You know, the Orioles, they really, I'm not going to lie, they kind of surprised me some the past couple seasons, but they're for real. They're obviously the favorite in the East. You know, they look really good. And now they did lose Cruz, which is huge. You know, nobody can really make up for that. You know, so that is going to hit them hard. So they're going to have to find other production from somewhere. So someone has to jump up there and, you know, take over that really, really big void that they have. And as far as the Yankees, man, they are a mess up there. You know, they have so many things happening that, I mean, I don't even know what they're going to really, really do. You know, the A-Rod situation, you know, what's going to happen with that? I mean, they owe him a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, really, I think they're only really hanging on to him because they owe him so much. And I think that's why, because he has a huge, huge contract. That's
yeah,
the biggest.
There's no doubt about it that they would have preferred had he just not, you know, if he had said, I'm retiring, they would have been thrilled.
Yeah, I would have been thrilled because, you know what, I don't really, really enjoy it whenever somebody cheats the game. It's just not fun for me, you know? Now, I'm not trying to hate on any Yankee fans out there, anything like that, but I'm just saying, you know, whenever you cheat the game, it changes things. You know, you don't really get the same perspective and the same outlook that you once had on someone. It just changes the way that the game is, and I'm not a really big fan of that. You know, and so
I don't think you have to worry too much about hating on Yankees fans because. When we had Nick Swartz on, who is a couple of weeks ago on our Frat House Sports Show, who's a Yankees reporter, a Yankees, he's not a beat writer, but he actually is a columnist for one of the publications for the New York Yankees. He actually was telling us how the fan base up there, they're no more enamored with A-Rod than the rest of the world is. So, you know, I don't think any Yankees fans are going to be coming at you. You know, but listen, I can find out. We can check. Hey, if there's any Yankees fans that want to take it up with Caleb, hey, 347-826-9964. You can have a piece of them. It's okay with me.
Bring it on, yeah.
I don't think anybody's really going to, you know, I don't think anybody's going to take you up on that one. So, and like I said, I think the Yankees would have been just as happy had he, you know, after his suspension said, you know something, guys? I was off the entire year, and I kind of got used to it, and I think I'll just hang it up. But, you know, Sean, going back to you on this one, the Yankees had similar age problems last year as they do right now. This is not a new problem for them. and yet managed to work their way up into second place. And at one point, I guess it wasn't, I wouldn't say it would have been, it certainly wasn't in September, but I think at one point, still into August, we're giving the Baltimore Orioles a bit of a run for it going for the top. Now, was that more of a situation where the other three teams behind them were just so pathetic that, well, hey, that's where the Yankees fell down. They shook out at number two.
I don't think, I mean, maybe it could go back to the fact that you do have a lot of these older guys and they're veterans in the league. Like, they know what they're doing, you know, real strong. But in the coming years, I feel like we're going to see that a lot of these older guys who are the veterans on the team are going to be down on the decline, and that's truly going to be the downfall of the Yankees. Maybe last year it was, you know, a little bit of weakness in the rest of the division, especially in Boston. I mean, Boston's always been quite a contender for the playoffs, but last year ended up in last place. So maybe it was a weakness in the rest of the division. However, I do think that they're going to start seeing some problems if they don't start getting some younger guys on board this team.
Well, now talking about Boston, let's jump over to Boston. I was going to go to Toronto next, but let's go over to Boston for a moment, because Boston to me is kind of a, what's the word I want? Well, they're a bit of an anomaly. I guess maybe that would be the right word. Maybe there's another word I'm looking for, but for the sake of it, let me just, Boston is a weird team that can have a down season like they did last year and all of a sudden propel themselves up to the top. If I'm not mistaken, yeah, they did that to us a couple of seasons ago, wasn't that long ago. I think they went from bottom to top to bottom to top. I mean, this is what they do. So they were at the bottom last year. One way to assume that, based on the pattern, this year would be the season they go to the top. Any hope out there for the folks at Fenway? Do they have that kind of real hope, Sean? What's your analysis on Boston?
I do think that there is some hope for Boston.
I do too.
Some of the moves they've made this season have just been nuts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, their international, they went over their international signing cap this year, trying to sign guys onto this team, which you hardly ever see in baseball. I mean, signing Johan Moncada to a $31 million deal. I mean, if he is really the player that they think he's going to be in this league with some of the other pickups that they've made, I mean, they could really make that comeback from bottom to top once again.
Wow. Yeah, and I'm going to be honest with you. Let's go take a look at the last two in this division. I frankly think, I don't know, Toronto. Well, they're the wild card. They might be the wild card here. But let's take a look real quick at Tampa Bay. I have a funny, sneaky suspicion they might be the cellar dwellers this year in the AL East, because I think that team just epitomized, from about midseason on last year, they epitomized everything that would be a dysfunctional team. What's your thought on it, Sean?
I would agree with you there. And this season, it looks like, from what I'm reading, if Matt Moore comes back from the Tommy John surgery he just had over the summer, Tampa Bay could be looking at a really solid starting pitching staff this year. Very young, but very powerful.
Okay.
And I think if they can get their bats going this year, get some relief from their bullpen, then, like you said, these guys could be the wild card in this division.
Mm-hmm. What about what did we miss? We missed one in there. Who did I miss?
Toronto.
Toronto. Go ahead. Thanks.
Not much going on with Toronto, from what I can see. Some pickups, some losses. But what they really need, it looks like, is starting pitching. Again, I think they're going to be struggling in the starting pitching this season. If they can't make some moves to get some starting pitchers, they may be struggling there.
Mm-hmm. This is a team that I guess it was three seasons ago, went out in the offseason, dropped a boatload of money, and it never, ever turned out for them. Not one iota. It did not one bit. And the best that I think they've been able to do was their third-place finish that they had last year. That is, in those 3 years, I think that's the best that they were able to muster was a third-place finish in the division last year. Toronto, I don't know. They're a weird, weird team. They look, in some respects, they don't look half bad on paper. But when you go and actually run them out on the field, they don't. It doesn't match what should be on the paper. Any thoughts, Caleb?
Exactly.
Any thoughts on it, Caleb? Anything we've thrown in here about the East?
Yeah, I mean, you guys really, really hit what I was kind of thinking about them, and so I don't really have that much to really add on here. So you guys pretty much hit it all. So
if we were to take a look right now, and this is what's fun about doing preseason stuff. If we were to rank the five teams in the AL East as to how they will finish at the end of the season. Go ahead, Sean. How would you rank them?
I think if Baltimore can show what they showed last year, it's definitely going to be a bit of a contention between them and Boston, because I do think that Boston has a very good chance of that comeback season. And I'm going to go as far as to say that Boston's going to win the division this year.
There we go again.
And to rank them in order, I'd say probably we'll put Boston number one, Baltimore close second, possibly Tampa Bay in third. I'd say New York in fourth and Toronto in fifth.
Okay, so I'm just making some notes here. So you had I'm writing them down because we're going to come back to it later on. All right, so you had Boston winning it, and see it goes back to that's what's interesting because we, you know, there we go again with that pattern that I was talking about with the Boston Red Sox. It is bizarre to see that constant up and down, up and down, up and down situation. Caleb, how would you rank the AL East? If we're putting them all in order,
you know, I would have to say that the Red Sox are definitely going to win. I think that they are definitely going to bounce. I think they are. I really do.
That's amazing.
You know, now the Orioles, it's going to be a very tight race. I'm going to say that it's going to be no more than three games of a difference between Boston and the Orioles. It's going to be a tight, tight finish. But I do think Boston, they're going to pull it out. I really do. And as far as the rest of the league or of the division goes, you know, I think that Toronto will finish third, Tampa fourth, and the Yankees last. I really think that the Yankees are going to finish dead last. I just think that there's way too much attention on them. I really guess, and there's a lot of controversy happening, and I don't know how focused they can really, really be. So
now, if I'm not mistaken, Sean, where Caleb's disagreeing with you is only on really the switch, I think, if I'm not mistaken, of two teams, and that is, well, Sean, you had the Yankees coming in fourth and Tampa coming in fifth, and Caleb, you've got Tampa coming in fourth and the Yankees coming in fifth. I think that's the only difference.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct? Do I have it written down right? I just want to make sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Yep.
All right. Well, you know, I don't know. I can't say just because I'm just a tad bit older that I'm any wiser. But let's see how mine shake down. I got Baltimore winning it. Now, there's a little bit, I'm going to be honest. I'm, you know, the Phils are my NL team, by virtue of birth. You know, I was born here, so therefore I root for the Phils. But my AL favorite has always been the Baltimore Orioles, and I've always been a big, big Baltimore fan. So there's a little bit of favoritism coming in there. But Baltimore I would have coming in first. I think Boston does make the rebound, but I think they're going to end up second. Yankees, I say, coming in third, and I'll tell you why. The Yankees are the weirdest team to me that just when you think that they're completely out of it, they're completely – and they do this every year. Every single year, they always seem to exceed their expectation, exceed the expectation of everybody else. They're overachievers, in other words. and I think they're going to overachieve again. You know, we can look at the roster. We can look at this team. And, you know, it doesn't take more than a sixth grade education to figure out that the New York Yankees shouldn't be a very good team, that they're old, that they need to make changes. And yet, watch, this team will overachieve and they'll end up in third place. That's not going to be good enough to get anywhere, but they'll end up in third. Toronto in fourth. I got Tampa Bay in fifth place. All right, so how about anybody out there? 347-826-9964. Did we represent your AL East well there? Huh? How does everybody think about that one? Huh? Anybody out there? 347-826-9964. Two of our panel here have Boston making the rebound from the cellar to the top spot in the AL East. I'd like to hear from anybody out there if they would like to dispute that or have a comment. All right, let's get over and take a look at the NL Central, and I'm going to start moving some things around here. I got to close some windows out, and then I'm going to start reopening a few others. But the NL Central, and we're going to find out a little bit about this NL Central and how much this NL Central really means to Caleb. I won't give it away, Caleb, but go ahead. Start talking to us a little bit about the Central. Now, last year we had the St. Louis Cardinals come out of this division as the winners. Pittsburgh got one of the wild cards, and then it fell down from there. Milwaukee, Cincinnati, Chicago. Go ahead. You take it away, buddy.
All right. Well, you know, I think that this is probably one of, if not the most competitive divisions in all of baseball. I just really do. It's just always a really good race to watch. It always is. Now, last season was only a two-man race, but 2013, it was a three-team sprint to the finish.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It was fantastic, fun to watch. You know, so I'm gonna go ahead and kick it off here with the Cubs. You know, we were kind of talking about them earlier, and man, the Cubs, they are trying to sign as many guys as they possibly can and they want to make a run. And I think it was Sean who said this earlier, but, you know, every single team has to eventually not be horrible. You know, I mean, they have to eventually come back around and make a run. So the Cubs, they signed John Lester to a 6-year deal, probably the biggest signing in the off season.
Yep.
Here. Definitely fantastic, fantastic signing there. And they have Jorge Soler, who is a monster. He's insane. He came up in September of last year. In 89 at-bats, he hit .292, five homers, 20 RBIs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the guy's got some power, and he's fast. He can run. He's going to be the Cubs' main guy on offense. Now, with that being said, not very proven, you know, in that aspect. So we will have to kind of wait and see, you know, what they're going to really be able to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
I think that within the next 2 to 3 seasons, they will be right up there in the Central. I really, really do. I mean, they have a young, good farm system, one of the best in the majors, and that is the biggest reason why they're gonna be really good over the next, you know, 4 or 5 years. They're gonna really be solid.
They're not going to shake the curse of the Billy Goat yet. What you're saying? Not this year.
I don't think yet. Maybe in 2 years from now. Maybe even as early as next season. But even then, I still think it's a little bit too early for them. I think that they're going to really get hot 2017. I think that's going to be the year for them.
Okay.
To watch out for the Cubs, definitely. Moving right on down, the Reds. You know, the Reds last season, they kind of tanked. They really did. They played, you know, not that solid. They finished fourth, you know, and they lost some key guys. Matt Latos, gone. Huge, huge guy. He was, I believe, their number two guy in the rotation there. I mean, big guy came in. He was fantastic. And Ryan Ludwig, he left. He was one of their best hitters. Fantastic. But they did re-sign Aroldis Chapman, which he is, I mean, he's insane. The closer, you know, he throws 100, 101. The guy's unhittable. So that was a big signing for them to keep him. But, you know, looking at their lineup here, you know, they have basically the same lineup from last season and the past couple of seasons, actually. You know, but one guy that really jumps out at me is Brandon Phillips. He's 33, you know, and he's not the player that he was.
Uh-huh.
You know, he was one of their top three guys, and now I don't think he's really up there anymore. You know, and I think this might be the season that if he's not really producing, he might get replaced by Shoemaker. You know, I just really can't see Phillips hitting those numbers from about 4 or 5 years ago that he was hitting and was, I mean, he was one of the top in the NL for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So I just can't see them getting back really with the way that, you know, Phillips is really playing. End of last season wasn't hitting too well. But I will say this. If Johnny Cueto and Homer Bailey, if those two can find a way to carry this Reds roster, then I think that they're gonna make some noise. They really can. Those two guys are gonna, they are going to really be the key to it all. But, you know, I don't think that the Reds are going to really be able to produce, you know, that 2013 season again for a couple years because they're just getting older, you know.
That's exactly the point I was going to make. You know, I'm looking up and down, and you made the point. You're saying, well, the lineup looks very similar to what they trotted out there last year. You know, I'm trying to see where they made any changes in the offseason at all. And like the Yankees that we just got done talking about over in the AL East, this is not a young team here.
No, it's not.
This team's got this. Yeah. You know, and listen, don't get me. Listen, far be it from me to be talking about old people, huh? But you know, it blows me away when I look up and down, and you're looking at, you know, everybody, you know, 30 plus years old, you know, almost every almost in every single position in the infield and the outfield. You know, you're talking about Brandon Phillips, you know, and if he doesn't start producing, maybe he might be replaced by Shoemaker. I'm assuming you mean Skip Shoemaker. Shoemaker, yes. Shoemaker is actually older than Brandon Phillips. So
is he really?
Yeah.
I did not realize that. Well,
yep.
Just kidding then.
So
I have to go find somebody else because I did not realize. I thought that he was younger than him.
Yeah, he's a Skip Shoemaker is a full almost 18 months older, year and a half older than Brandon Phillips.
It's the name Skip, Caleb, that confused you. Skip makes him sound like a young buck, you know what I'm saying?
Skipper, yeah, he's a Skippy. But, and it was funny because you started out by saying, well, this team really tanked. Well, you know, here in Philadelphia, we got a different idea of what tanking means, you know. you know, yeah, I was going to say, I think Sean knows exactly what I'm talking about there. I mean,
I do
when
know
you're
what
tanking,
you're talking about.
Yeah, when you're tanking, you know, you're tanking to lose on purpose. Well, with this roster, this team doesn't have to lose on purpose. They're going to lose.
Yeah, very true. Very true.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know what we can expect to see from Cincinnati, honestly. All right, so let's see. What did we do? We took a look at the Cubs. We took a look at the Reds. So far, the team with the greatest upside of those two is Chicago. What about these Brewers? It's another one of these teams that reminds me a little bit like the Brewers are a funny team. They remind me a little bit, and again, making the analogy back to the AL East, they remind me of talking about the Toronto Blue Jays. They're one of these types of teams that kind of flirts with you a little bit, you know, on the front end of the season, even by up to about the All-Star break. You're still thinking they might be in there, even a little bit past sometimes the All-Star break. You know, hey, the Brewers are in there, and all of a sudden they drop off.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with that. And they have lost some key guys in their pitching rotation. That they've lost 5 guys. That's not a good sign. you win because of your pitching. I mean, you have to have it, and they lost key guys. I mean, so I'm not sure how they're going to really try to replace them. Gallardo, he was gone. Marco Estrada, gone.
Yep.
Those guys right there were the heart of their rotation. I mean, they were, you know, they were the top guys. I mean, I don't know how you can let those two walk. You know, you have to try everything to try to keep them, but you know, they still have Garza there, so that's good for them. But you know, they lost more than they were able to replace, and I think that's going to hurt them big. So the guy
so wait,
that I
okay. Yeah, I was going to say, did you say out of the starting rotation they lost 5?
No, they lost.
They didn't lose
2
out of the starting rotation. Mm-mm. Oh, they lost 2 out of 5. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah. And then the
other
say,
they lost 5 out of 5. 3. They, you know, basically,
yeah.
You know, you know, they will be the team that'll be tanking. okay, I got you. You know, tell me they lost Ryan Braun. I'll be really happy. Now I'll really like the Milwaukee Brewers. But all right, so, but you know, when you start looking at their, when you look up and down their hitting lineup, they might be able to hold their own.
Yeah, they really might. Especially with Carlos Gomez. I mean.
Yep.
That's their heart and soul right there is him. You know, and so if they can hit the ball. I know that they can, and if they can try to keep it up, then I think that that might be able to overcome some of the pitching for the first half, maybe even that. But it will not lead them into contention with just hitting. You have to have good starting pitching. You have
to. Yeah, but it sounds like what you're telling us here is the Brewers may have problems on the hill. That's where they're going to be having their problems.
Yeah.
So
I mean,
if we don't,
really,
you know,
will.
if we see a team that's 500, if this team comes out being 500 or below 500, you know, it's a pitching issue probably.
Yeah, definitely would say that. The bullpen, they lost the other three guys that I mentioned earlier, but and that right there is going to hurt. I mean, even more so maybe than losing Estrada and Gallardo. I mean, so kind of hard to say there, you know, which hurts them the most, but they both hurt bad. So,
all right. Well, let's get into these last two teams, and these are where I think most everybody generally would say that these would be the two teams more likely or not are going to represent. Go ahead, take it away for us on one of these two. Which one do we want to start with?
All right, well, we're going to go with the Cardinals here. save the Pirates for last year. But the Cardinals, they made a big, big trade with the Braves in November. They got Jason Hayward, fantastic outfielder there. But they give up Shelby Miller. Man, I do not know if that trade was really worth it. You know, Hayward, amazing. But he did have a pretty bad season last year. He did. You know, he had a hard hitting season. Like, he just did not hit very well at all. And, you know, Shelby Miller is early 20s.
Right.
He's fantastic. You know, rookie season 2013 comes up in the postseason as a rookie and shuts down everyone. I mean, the guy was a monster. Him and Waka were just amazing.
Yep.
And they traded away one of their key guys in their rotation, and I really don't get it yet. Now, maybe I could be wrong. You know, they obviously might know something that we don't know yet. You know, but I just don't see that as a very good trade for the Cardinals. You know, and looking at their lineup is basically the same. Adding in Hayward. Which makes it a really good lineup. It does. And I think that they're going to be right on pace like they were last year. I don't think that they're going to really miss a beat at all, you know? So they look to be solid.
All right. Well, let's take a look at the Pirates then, because I'll be curious to hear your analysis here on this one.
Yeah, well, the Pirates, you know, they didn't really change a lot other than they lost Russell Martin, which that hurts bad. You know, he was the veteran leadership on the team, you know, and he was solid. He was amazing, you know. Now, he is, I believe, 33, 34, but still fantastic. He was the heart and the soul of the Pirates defensively, for sure. Got him fired up and ready to go, ready to play night in, night out. So he will be missed for sure. But we did get Francisco Cervelli from the Yankees.
Yep.
You know, younger guy. You know, I think that he's going to be a good, solid catcher. He's not going to be a Russell Martin just yet. So we're definitely going to miss Martin's production all over the field for sure. But one big thing that the Pirates have really, really done is the transition of Pedro Alvarez from third all the way over to first. That's the biggest change. And the reason was is Alvarez was horrible last season. He was flat out terrible. Led the National League in errors by a third baseman last season. Horrible. Just horrible. Which made him have some mental lapses, and that caused some hitting issues. It did. I believe that it was a mental thing, that he just kind of psyched himself out and just wasn't the same that he really was in 2013, hitting 30 homers. I mean, he just wasn't the same guy. You know, so I really look for him to have a kind of a breakout season. He's looking really, really solid over at first base. So, you know, I really think that is going to be the biggest thing for the Pirates moving forward. Mm-hmm. is him. Definitely. And of course, McCutchen, you know, he's always there. Can't forget him. Definitely the Pirates face of the franchise. You know, one of the best, if not the best outfielder in the majors. You know, him and Trout are the two, in my opinion, the two best. Those two, they're amazing. So, with that being said, you know, I really look for the Pirates to win the Central. I really do. Now, there may be a little bit of a bias, you know, a homer thing in there, but you know, I really look for the Pirates to win the Central this year. I think that they've got the pieces to finally do it. They know what it's going to take to get there. They've seen it, and they've just been right on the cusp of it for the past really two seasons. And so I really look for them to win it this season. I really do.
Who do you have coming in second?
Well, that one's the Cardinals for sure.
Okay.
You know, I think that the Central's really a two-man race for now. I don't think that the Reds or the Cubs or the Brewers can really compete just quite yet.
All right, so we go Pirates, Cardinals. Who would you have in third?
Milwaukee, I think, third.
Okay, Brewers.
Chicago, fourth, and Cincinnati, fifth.
Okay, Cubs, Reds.
Yep.
You know, you're bringing McCutchen up. Personally, I think McCutchen should be the face of Major League Baseball. That's my personal
I agree
opinion.
With that. I agree. Definitely.
You know, if you're looking for a guy who is a stand-up dude, really embodies everything that I think Major League Baseball would like it to reflect, you know,
mm-hmm.
the purity of the game, the wholesomeness of the game, you know, the
yep.
role model concept of the game. Andrew McCutchen,
yep.
I think it really should be the face of the baseball. You know, if we're looking for who should be on the cover of excuse me, EA Sports' game this year, That should be Andrew McCutchen. That's just my personal opinion. Sean, what do you got? What do you think over in the where are we? We're in the AL Central or NL Central. What do you think in the NL Central?
I mean, Caleb's hit the nail on the head with everything he said about the division. If I were to rank the teams, as much as I'd hate to say it, I would agree with Caleb. And I think that the Pirates are going to take the NL Central this year. Obviously, with St. Louis coming in a close second place, like no more than 3-game difference between those two. And call me crazy. Call me crazy. Everyone, please, call in if you want. Tell me how crazy I am. I'm going to put the Chicago Cubs in third place in this NL Central. Followed by Milwaukee, who I think the inconsistency that they showed at the end of last year is possibly going to carry over into next year, which is why I would put them below Chicago and Cincinnati in last place in the division.
All right, there you have it. Now, over – well, and I'm going to tell you, I'm going to diverge a little bit here on who I would pick for the top spot. I have just seen this Cardinals team too many seasons in a row come back and finish up first. You got to give hats off to this management of the St. Louis Cardinals for their ability to do what the Phillies just can't seem to figure out how to do, and that is not rebuild, reload. They know how to do it. The Cardinals do. And while I hear you, Caleb, when you mentioned that, you know, you couldn't understand why they made the trade that they did with the pitchers, and I agree with you. And you said, well, maybe they know something that we don't. I think that when you take a look at the St. Louis Cardinals track record, you almost everybody has to come away saying that. Well, I guess they knew something we didn't, because for gosh sakes, this team always seems to end up on top just when you think, oh, there's no way. There is no way. You know, when they went and lost, I'm having a brain fart. What's his name out there to the Angels? I thought for sure that was the end of them. You know, but you know, Cardinals are done. You know, it'll take them 2 seasons, 3 seasons to rebound from that one. But no, they were right there in the mix, and have been every single season along with it. So. I got to put the Cardinals up there at number one. Pittsburgh is number two. And then I think, well, no, that's right. Sean's got the Cubs coming in third. I got the Brewers in third, Cubs in fourth, and the Reds coming in as the cellar dwellers on that one. All right, so there you have it. We're chatting a bit overtime here, folks. I knew that. I knew we would. I advertised the program till 9. I knew we would go over past 9 o'clock. That's okay. It's our first program. You're listening to the Frat House Sports Radio Network's Cleanup Hitters, our debut all Major League Baseball program. And it'll be coming to you here every Tuesday. Next Tuesday, we'll be coming to you here at 7 p.m. So make note of it. That will be our normal time, will be 7 p.m. Let's wrap it up, though, real quick, gentlemen, with a little bit of a little conversation here on something that just happened yesterday and something that we have talked about here on the Frat House Sports Network now for over 3 years. And that is that Pete Rose submitted a formal application for reinstatement yesterday to the new baseball commissioner, Rob Manfred. You know, obviously he has done this each time there's been a new commissioner. I kind of thought that Bud Selig would have saved Manfred the trouble by perhaps making one of his last duties in office to reinstate Pete Rose. I thought perhaps he might have done it that way. I thought that, to be perfectly honest with you, I thought that would have been the character move. I thought that would have been the classy thing to do, not leave this mess, I guess, to continue to be dealt with by Rob Manfred. But sentiment, I think, from almost all fans – and across the league in many, many areas, albeit, I got to be honest, I have heard some from some fans who have said, hell no, he shouldn't get in. But I think that the vast majority of sentiment is, well, the guy's done his time. Give him a chance again, reinstate him to at least be allowed to be elected into the Hall of Fame. Any thoughts on this one? This is a controversial issue. Even if the vast majority of people, you know, kind of feel the same way, this is still kind of a controversial issue. Any thoughts on it? Go ahead, weigh in.
Yeah. The way I think about it is there's two different ways to get into the Hall of Fame. You can get into the Hall of Fame as a player, and you can get into the Hall of Fame as a manager. Now, through his Pete Rose's career, I think that he should be allowed into the Hall of Fame as a player. He holds the record for the most hits in the history of Major League Baseball. And if you are not letting the most hitting player in your game into the Hall of Fame, I think there is something wrong there. Now, there was a lot of wrong that Pete Rose did as a manager. However, I think that he should be instated into the Hall of Fame as a player.
No, there's no doubt about it. Caleb, you made a comment earlier when we were talking about A-Rod, and you said, well, you know, you don't take kindly to guys that cheat. This really wasn't cheating, though, was it?
No. I mean, you know, he had one of the best careers ever, flat out. He did. He was amazing. You know, and yes, I do think as a player, like Sean said, that he needs to be in the Hall of Fame as a player, because he didn't have any type of a PED, anything like that. You know. It was all of a gambling issue, which is kind of ironic now that that's a thing now. You know, people do that all the time. Just so happened that he was one of them doing it. You know, you look at the fantasy aspect of it now. There's websites all over the place that you are basically gambling on what you think a player will eventually do in that night's matchup.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, now I think that things have changed as a whole of a society to where, you know, gambling is a little bit more accepted, if that makes sense, in that fantasy aspect of it, you know. And so I do think that Rose should be back in as a player, and he should be in the Hall of Fame as a player, like Sean said.
The Major League Baseball takes the issue of gambling inside their game. Obviously, they're not talking about what we as fans do. They don't care about that. They're talking about inside their game. They obviously take that kind of activity very, very seriously as a result of, obviously, of what occurred with the Black Sox scandal. I think any sport should take it very seriously. You know,
yes.
I don't think we don't want any. How would we feel if we were to determine prior to Sunday's football games, if we were to find out that, it's nothing more than WWE. You know, it's all prefab, it's all pre-scripted, and we know exactly how it's all going to... You know, that's not going to please anybody, and nobody wants to see a game like that. You know, ultimately, you're going to destroy the game. Nobody's even going to want to watch if in fact, it becomes a situation where perhaps somehow or another it's predetermined or there's tampering involved.
Now, the one thing I will say to that, though, is that Pete Rose never really didn't seem to have a history of betting against his team, like in the case of the Black Sox scandal.
Right.
When they were bet against and, you know, like they were saying that players were throwing the games and stuff like that, Pete Rose never bet against his team, which, I mean, right there you could say that, you know, he wouldn't have been telling his players to throw the game because he had money on it and they could be in on it. But I will say that that could have led him to make decisions during games that he may not have made if he didn't have money riding on the game.
Correct. Correct. And that's see, and there you went right to the heart of it.
Exactly. And that's where you get into the whole scandal of the situation.
Right. Because while we might want to sit back and say, oh, I don't think he would. Oh, I don't think he would do that. The bottom line is we still don't know for certain what someone's motivation might be at a given moment. They're keeping their mouth shut. They're in a dugout and they're making a move. And we as fans, how many times have we seen it? You know, doesn't matter whether it's football, baseball, you know, even a hockey game. Sometimes we're sitting there going, what in the world? Why are you doing that? There's enough of that kind of questioning by fans already going on, let alone to then open it up to the possibility that we might be questioning because there's going to be a financial outcome. So it's a very serious situation. I understand why Major League Baseball makes it a serious situation. Let me ask a question to both of you. Have either of you ever been to the Baseball Hall of Fame up in Cooperstown?
No.
I have not.
Okay. I did have the opportunity three seasons ago. It's up. You can see pictures on my Facebook page. It was just a couple of summers ago to go up to Cooperstown. What a wonderful, wonderful experience. Obviously, if you ever get the experience, I would encourage all the Hall of Fames. I can't wait to get to all of them, honestly. But Cooperstown is such a wonderfully quaint, beautiful little community. And to go there, to go into Cooperstown and again go to the Baseball Hall of Fame, Cooperstown just simply epitomizes exactly what small town, homegrown Americana baseball is all about. But the thing I wanted to point out about it is that while you will not find a plaque for Pete Rose in the main hall, because when you go into the main hall, that's where the big high-ceilinged hall is, and all the plaques are along both sides of the walls in this massive room. There's also connected to the hall, however, because it's called the Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum. Now, when you go through the museum, which is, in my opinion, actually more fascinating than the Hall of Fame itself, because it's three floors high, and it goes through just about every aspect of baseball history you could possibly imagine. Well, gentlemen, believe it or not, but guess what is in the museum? But all kinds of tributes to who? The Hit King. Pete Rose.
Wow.
So, in fact, it is there. It's just that he can't get one of the wonderfully gold, I guess they're gold or bronze plaques, you know, permanently placed on the Hall of Fame. But in the museum, which is, I mean, look, you go to the museum, you're at the Hall of Fame. It's the exact same building. So, but it truly is a rather remarkable thing because I'm walking through and I'm going, I actually had to pinch myself because I'm looking at this exhibit for Pete Rose and the Hit King. And I've got Sidekick with me, who you hear right here on our radio network. And I'm hitting Sidekick in the ribs. I'm going, wait a minute, what's this all about? And Sidekick looks at me and he said, you're not in the Hall of Fame. You're in the museum. Ah, it's okay there. So, interesting. Okay, well, I'm going to start wrapping it up here. Gentlemen, thank you very, very much. I think we did a fine job with the first program here of the cleanup hitters here on the Frat House Sports Radio Network. We'll be coming back to everybody right here next Tuesday evening on March 24th. Again, we'll be coming back to you at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And at that point, we'll be joined by Sean. Sean, you'll be joining me again. And we'll be bringing in Nick Mandarano. And we'll give Caleb the week off. And then we'll bring Caleb in back in the week thereafter. So We thank everybody who's been listening here. Guys, any final thoughts on everything here tonight?
Nope, nothing that I can
anybody
say. Waiting for the other one to answer?
I was waiting for Sean to answer.
I was right about here. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it was a pleasure being here. Lots of fun. Great talking to you guys. Can't wait for the rest of the season. The season's going to be great, I think.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I'm excited for the season to finally get here. I think it was a great way to kick off the show. It was a lot of fun. So I'm excited for the rest of the season.
Well, and obviously I would anticipate that things are going to get really, really ramped up once we start getting into regular season games. And we've got something, you know, to be talking about that's going on the diamonds every single week. You know, what happened in this game? What, you know, this really important game over here? Hey, did you see this ridiculous play over here? So once we really get things, as you guys just said, kind of ramped up and going into the regular season, I would anticipate that, the programs will get a lot more, this is a preseason show. We're warming it up. We're coming off of that long winter. We got to get reacclimated to everything in Major League Baseball, and that's why we're doing it the way that we are with the three preseason shows. Get everybody reacclimated and get you doing our analyses of each of the divisions, and then by the time we come back in week four, obviously we'll have some real, real live games to be talking about. But anyhow, what do we have coming up this week on our Frat House Sports Radio Network? Well, Thursday night we'll be coming to you here with our flagship program. You can catch that one 184th week in a row, number 184. Whoa, we are counting them down to our 200th episode of the Frat House Sports Show. Coming to you here live, 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. Please be here to catch that one live. Saturday I'll be back with our Frat House Saturday program at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. And then Uncle Mark and Brandon will be back here with you. I'm not sure whether the sidekick's going to be on that one yet or not, but we'll find out back here on Sunday at 11 a.m. with our Race Trim Motorsports Hour. All right. Caleb, thank you. Sean, thank you. And to everybody out there, thank you very, very much. I'm going to leave you with this one. We did mention it. Hey, guys, it's St. Patrick's Day. Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody.